Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, hour number two. We can see, we can touch and taste the weekend. It is coming. I'm going to be on basically the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota this weekend with family. So get some more nature in my life. You got big plans for the weekend? Adam Murphy, my guest for today.
Good grief. It's the weekend, isn't it? Right. 2 years of COVID. I have no idea what day it is ever anymore. And my wife and I, she owns a travel agency. We both work from home. So weekends don't matter.
It's Groundhog's Day.
Right. It is. It's like, well, we'll look at the weather. We'll be in the pool or not. You know, there you go.
There you go. All right. Well, I am joined by recent Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate, Adam Murphy. And we have spent the first hour talking a lot about lessons learned and TikTok and how to use it in when you're running for office and authenticity and all these different things as far as being a candidate trying to connect with voters. And so you made the decision to not keep your race going up until the primary. I know, just by knowing you, that you are not done with politics though. And so what are you excited about, and what do you want to do next as far as your march towards continuing to make Wisconsin a better place?
I march towards the White House. I'm kidding.
Maybe you're not kidding.
Right. There were at least three or four people on TikTok that were like, are you going to run for president? So, you know, my base has begun. But this was new for me and I love it. I said at the beginning, right? I'm a chess player, I'm a poker player, I'm a strategist. I love game theory.
People don't know. What is game theory? So, I feel like that's something that gets thrown out there.
You're right.
To be
right.
Fair, I made this joke on Twitter last night because I know you love economics and everything, and I understand some. I walked into my parents' guest room last night, which is where the last person to stay in there was my brother, who was in finance, and he just casually, the book that he left sitting on the desk was The Global Macro Edge, Maximizing Return Per Unit of Risk by John Netto. Have you read it? I have not.
No.
It's like an economics textbook, just chilling. And my mom was like, oh yeah, he was reading that when he was here. I was like, it's a different level of nerd that I am not.
It's not uncommon that we'll go to bed and my wife Tanya will be reading, you know, whatever she's reading, and she'll say, what are you reading? And I'm like, economics. And I do actually read economics books. I'm doing modern monetary theory, MMT, because people ask me about it all the time.
What people are you hanging out with that are asking about it all the time? But anyways, what's next game show. Theory? And then let's talk about what you're going to do next.
So game theory is at its most basic, and it's part of math, it's part of economics, but it is analyzing decision making is really what it comes down to. And what's the payoff? Normally two people, right, or two entities, whatever it might be. And we think about it in terms of games, but it's totally applicable to economics. It's applicable to politics. It's a way of forecasting decisions. So the video series that I'd done on TikTok that really took off was Game Theory and Mitch McConnell and the infrastructure bill. And so if you're up for me taking a minute, let me see if I
can.
Okay. So the infrastructure.
We got 10 minutes. Yeah, we got it.
Okay, cool. So the infrastructure bill, I'm not talking Build Back Better, but the infrastructure bill that passed at the end of November 2021 had, I think it was 19 GOP senators that voted for it. So 19 Republicans and all the Democrats. And it was funny because Donald Trump, when he was president, wanted to do an infrastructure bill. Right?
It was always infrastructure week, every week.
It was always. Wasn't it? Because, you know, he wanted his name on every freeway across the country, right? It's the Eisenhower, it's the Kennedy, nope, it's the Trump, right? And it never happened, despite the fact that the GOP was in complete control, Mitch McConnell, right, the Senate, when he took over, the whole nine yards. And then Biden gets in, Donald Trump now all of a sudden doesn't want the infrastructure bill because it's the worst thing ever. Well, of course he doesn't want it because he's not going to get credit for it. And he's going to have to drive on Biden, you know, freeway, which would just piss him off as he's in his golf cart. And Mitch McConnell let it happen. And so here was the interesting thing is that when you looked at it, when Trump was in, the reason that Mitch McConnell wasn't going to allow it is there still would have been a lot of Republicans, a lot of GOP members that would not have voted for it, but all of the Democrats would have, right? Nancy Pelosi was like, bring it. We will do it. Well, that would have given more credit to the Democrats than the Republicans, so he couldn't allow that to happen. And he didn't care about Donald Trump. Mitch McConnell does not give a damn about Donald Trump. He just used him. So when Biden got in, and it was obvious that the Democrats were going to be able to pass it using, you know, some of the creative ways that they can do that in the Senate. Okay, so again, Mitch McConnell doesn't care about Trump. Trump doesn't want it. McConnell doesn't care. The 19 U.S. senators that voted for it, 17 of them are not up for re-election in 2022. They're not up until 24 or 26, which means they won't have Donald Trump whining that they voted for the bill. The two that are, Lisa Murkowski up in Alaska, who voted to impeach Donald Trump, and Chuck Grassley in Iowa, who's 88 and doesn't give a damn, and he wasn't going to run anyway, and he's back. So nobody that was at risk of the wrath of Donald Trump voted for it, and that was all Mitch McConnell's doing. Now what's going to happen in 24 or 26 is we'll be 2-3 years into the infrastructure bill, and then the Republicans can take credit for having voted for it as part of their reelection. That's game theory, is understanding why the decisions were made when they were made. And I know that took way more than a minute, but so it's a really interesting analysis, and we can use it for economics and, you know, chess and poker or whatever. But at the most basic, that's it, is what are the decisions? What are the strategies? And that's what I tried to do with politics, is bring a different strategy. And part of my failing was, I was, you know, targeting the wrong people for the primary, because that's different than the general election.
I mean, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see. I think there was an article this week about, not the race you were in the Republican gubernatorial race, of what will be telling is who comes out of that because of who, like how, what turnout is in these primaries, how many people, which counties do better for which candidates, and how telling that will be going into the fall. But speaking kind of Republicans, not the party, but of people who vote that way or conservatives, you know, I think one thing that you and I have talked about before, which I find interesting, is changing your message to talk to reach across the aisle, bridge the gap. And it's something that I don't necessarily know if I do well, but even at the beginning of trying to do As Goes Wisconsin, somewhat through using humor, but also being very careful of not talking about a group of people, holding elected officials to account. And like, they're free, you know, I've definitely made videos making fun of Robin Voss, but not making fun of an entire group of people that happen to vote Republican, right? And so in the attempt to still be true to who I am and what I believe in, but at least trying to make content or have conversations in a way that someone who doesn't necessarily agree with me doesn't immediately turn it off.
Right.
It's like, well, this isn't for me. You know, and I certainly get those comments. I get the like, oh, you're just a stupid libtard, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. Right. And it's fine. But I also, the best compliment I ever get is, I don't always agree with you, but I like listening to you. Or I don't always agree with you, but I like how you approach this. Because I would say that I am more in the camp where you are of, we have to coexist with people who don't agree with us. And to just always bulldog or bulldoze your way or no way, I don't think is the right way to govern, even though I think my ideal world, if I were to snap my fingers and create it, is pretty far left. But like, I would rather have politicians who are to the right of me who can actually get something done than the warrior activist politician who is just so bullheaded. And then we're just in a stalemate. And this is happening at the federal level. This happens in our state when we have split government, which is what we have now. So what have you seen work as someone who has voted Republican at different points of your life of how do we do that? Tell me the answers of how to do that.
Right. So one of the coolest, and I've said this about several classes, but one of my favorite classes was political psychology. To start to understand how we think politically. And the really interesting takeaway is a liberal mindset and a conservative mindset literally think differently. I'm talking neurologically. And so if you've ever, or any of your listeners have ever been in a conversation with somebody on the other side, and you've thought to yourself, I can't even understand how they think that.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that they've thought the same thing about you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's literally because we don't think the same. And so that's the start of it, is first understanding that. And then for politicians, having a willingness to try to think like the other side. I've had plenty of people say, I don't want to think like them. Okay, we're not going all the way down the MAGA rabbit hole. But
we're talking about like 90s Republicans. Like, right, I always think about, you know, it's like my dad and his friends who were like in, you know, business, successful guys in Madison, who, you know, were very pro Tommy, you know, right. Tommy Thompson and the fiscal tax guys, not the right. We need to win at all cost guys.
Right. And they're economically wrong. But sorry,
I hope my dad's listening. Right?
right. And I can explain why, but that's another show. But Tommy Thompson is such a great example. He was just the president of the UW system for like a year. And he was being attacked by the Wisconsin GOP because he proposed a bigger increase to the UW budget than Governor Evers did. Right. And when we were dealing with COVID and we were dealing with mask mandates and we were dealing with vaccines, Tommy Thompson absolutely stepped up, and he was, you know, right, former director of Health and Human Services. He absolutely stepped up and put his foot down on the neck of the GOP here in Wisconsin and said, this is what the UW system will do, and we will have masks and we will protect our students and we will protect our teachers. So I respected him tremendously for that. How do we do it? We start by being willing, by willingness, and that's the key, to actually think like the other side. Because if we do that, then we can change our argument. I can present the argument, I talked about universal healthcare, but I can use any of them. I can present it from multiple different perspectives. But that's the risky part for a politician, because now you're saying, oh, I support it for this reason. Oh, I support it for this reason. Oh, I support it for that reason. And now it's easy to be attacked by the other side, where, well, he said this, then he said this. Well, no, I'm not flipping. It's good for people and it's good for business owners. That's good for society. I think we I'm trying to pay attention as Jane is telling us, so we've got break. I'll give you an example when we get back, though, of one of the ones I did.
We'll approach a couple different topics and how we can talk about them differently as a thought experiment. But right now we are with Adam Murphy, who's been here the whole show so far. We're talking